You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Like a thoroughbred, I was chomping at the bit, just counting down the commercials until we could get back on the air. I'm literally that excited to be with you tonight. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, September 5th. September! I'll see you in September.
Oh, here comes the vibrato again.
Keith Alexander in studio with me. Anyway, Scoop in that last segment talked about the escalation in the war on cops, which is basically still, it's just black on white murder, which is something not new at all.
It goes just by the name of Black Lives Matter, but it really is the Blue Lives Don't Matter movement is what they're doing. This is, one, making targets of policemen, particularly white policemen, and it is encouraging violence against the police on behalf of non-white, primarily black criminals. That is the unvarnished truth about the Black Lives Matter movement. And what group has decided to throw their full support behind the Black Lives Movement Matter, James?
It's the Democratic Party. So I think any decent American would agree that the Black Lives Matter, these criminals, these thugs, these murderers need to be dealt with. Well, the Democrats
should be denounced by any responsible political organization not supported by them.
I was going to joke and say the Democrats agree with us that they need to be dealt with, and here's how they're dealing with them. They're endorsing them, officially giving Black Lives Matter support in its official platform. But first, Winston Smith wrote this article for us on we posted it on August the 31st at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Democrat, and we will call them a terrorist group because I think it goes above and beyond ideology. I think it's fair to call them a legitimate hate group, not like American Family Union, but they're, you know, at least that. But a terrorist group would probably be more applicable.
Of course, the silence is deafening from the Southern Poverty Law Center and their hate watch.
Yeah, they're not on there at all. But the Black Lives Matter terrorist organization has called on its members to begin murdering cops and white people. Breitbart reports that members of the Black Lives Matter movement called for the lynching and hanging of white people and cops. They encouraged others to turn the tide and kill white people and cops to send a message about the killing of black people in America, which, of course, what they're talking about is the self-defense that a couple of white police officers, Darren Wilson being one of them, had to do in order to protect his life from a black thug who was trying to kill him. But after this proclamation, just a few hours later, Vester Flanagan executed two white news people in Virginia. And a couple of days after that, a black man executed a white deputy in Texas. But now, the Democratic National Committee has officially given support to this terrorist organization in its platform. Here's the story from MSNBC.com. A couple of days ago in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the DNC met. They passed a resolution supporting the Black Lives Matter movement at the party's summer meeting. They also affirmed a resolution supporting same-sex marriage in every state. But activists with the Black Lives Matter movement have roiled Democratic politics in recent months, interrupting speeches by the party's presidential candidates as they now try to force the party to prioritize their issues. And the DNC capitulated, or at least thinks that's a good idea. Quote, the DNC joins, this is in their platform now, the DNC joins with Americans across the country in affirming Black Lives Matter. To make
I don't think
visible,
they capitulated, James. They
well,
absolutely
they didn't capitulate. No, you're right, of course. But they say that they affirm Black Lives Matter in their official platform in an effort to make visible the pain of our fellow and sister Americans as they condemn extrajudicial killings of unarmed African-American men, women, and children. Now, I'd like to know how many children have been, unarmed children have been murdered. It also,
murdered by stray bullets fired by black criminals
that's
at
right.
one another, but not by the police.
But this was, Keith, this resolution passed the Resolutions Committee for the Democratic National Committee, and then was affirmed by its full body of delegates a week ago Friday. Racial justice was also a key theme of the invocation given by Rabbi Michael Adam Latz, who said, "We've replaced Jim Crow with mass incarceration."
Well, let me say this. It would seem that the National Democratic Party has a much greater responsibility and a much greater link to the criminal violence of the Black Lives Matter movement than the Council of Conservative Citizens apparently was supposed to have regarding Dylann Roof's murders of nine people in Charleston.
Great point. Great point. So this killer in Charleston supposedly goes to the Council of Conservative Citizens website one time, never contacts the council, never attended a meeting, never knew anybody
never
that was
belonged.
A member of the council that we know of, but he's tied to it like white on rice. The Democrats absolutely put it in their platform that they put the whole weight of the party behind this movement, and crickets, Keith.
Yeah, crickets, nothing from the mainstream media. Think of all the
praise.
Praise, but think of all the policemen that have gone down since we started hearing about the Black Lives Matter movement. Furthermore, if you read this ballyhooed federal hate crime law, it basically enhances the penalty for any crime that was fueled or motivated by racial animus. Well, what is the Black Lives Matter movement except a movement of racial animus, racial hatred by blacks against what they consider to be a white-dominated police force? What about the fact that all of these murders, they're not going out and murdering typically minority group policemen, they're murdering white policemen. That's what Darren Goforth was. That's what the guy in Abilene, Texas was. That's what the guy in Illinois was. But again, they're picking out white officers. They're motivated by racial hatred of whites and white policemen. Again, why has nobody in the mainstream media even suggested that somebody like the murderer of Darren Goforth, the deputy in Houston, Texas, be prosecuted under the federal hate crime law? Again, the silence is deafening. Why isn't the Southern Poverty Law Center stepping up to the plate and saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is a hate group?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the media is not talking about this Democratic Party Black Lives Matter merger. Instead, they're more interested in what James Edwards and Keith Alexander are saying about Donald Trump. You know, two law-abiding family Christian men. You know, this is it's the world upside down.
It's not hate watch. It is anti-white watch that they are making a list of. In other words, anyone. Or it's the conservative watch list. If you are a authentic conservative, or if you are, you know, advocating for the rights of white people or of traditional hierarchies in society like our police force, then you are a member of a hate group. On the other hand, if you're a member of a black group that wants to kill white policemen, you're okay.
And you know, even in their best behavior, Black Lives Matter, well, you saw it. What do they do in Ferguson? What do they do in Baltimore? They riot. They go to, you know, 2 days.
They burn stuff
the
down.
Same week that this. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
We've got so much we want to say tonight, it's hard to even take a breath while we're on the air. I was saying right before that last commercial break, though, that even in their best behavior, look at Ferguson, look at Baltimore, they're rioting, they're looting, they're pillaging, they're just a general nuisance and disturbance. And when
we're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right, talking about them, and then when taken to the last full measure, I mean, they are murderous. And Keith, you're talking about obviously
the mainstream media being in favor of them. We're not making this up. We're just looking at one of these other articles. We've got an article coming up we're going to cover on climate change from the Sunday, August 16th, 2015 edition of the Memphis Commercial Appeal, known to locals here as the Communist Appeal. And up at the right-hand margin of the first page of the Viewpoint section from that Sunday edition is an article by a black columnist named Otis Sanford that says, "Black Lives Matter is a movement that'll stick." In other words, he's endorsing the Black Lives Matter movement. So there it is, you know, confirmation, if you needed any. All you have to do is turn on the news, read the news releases from the Democratic Party, read your local newspaper, tune in to national news, and you'll see ringing endorsements of the Black Lives Matter movement. And the Black Lives Matter movement is like Dr. Pepper, so misunderstood. It's actually such a good, holy, and righteous movement, and these evil conservatives are trying to portray it as being violent. Just forget about the fact that all these people are getting murdered under the banner of Black Lives Matter, James.
All right. I want to go back now to something we were going to cover in the first hour. But this is live radio, and we follow no script, so we get to what we get to when we get to it. But this is an article that Keith brought in from the Sunday, August 23rd edition of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. It's from the Viewpoint section, front page above the fold. Big picture, let's comb over racism, has
a Hispanic activist,
a radical, holding up an anti-Trump sign. And big, bold, black letters, "Are you an angry voter?" And of course, if you're an angry voter, you can only be a Trump voter. That doesn't apply to anybody else. If so, take a deep breath. Angry voters shed rationality for negative partisanship, casting ballots not to help their party, but to hurt the opposition, a concept that runs counter to the heart of democracy. And then the story continues. everyone seems to think voters are furious this year. The angry voter has been blamed for everything from the insurgent candidacies of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump to the possible emergence of a third-party presidential candidate in 2016. And although some thoughtful dissenters wonder whether Americans are quite as enraged as the news media insist, the tale of the angry voter seems unlikely to fade anytime soon. In the midst of this maelstrom, political scientists Alan Abramowitz and Stephen Webster of Emory University in Atlanta this month posted an intriguing analysis of the role of anger in the 2012 presidential elections. They conclude that voters are indeed angry, mainly at the opposing party, and that this anger is increasingly correlated with ideology. In other words, the most liberal and most conservative voters are also the most likely to be angry. Looking forward to 2016, they conclude, it promises to be a long and nasty campaign. Why do we worry so about the mood of the voters? Probably because the anger implies a loss of control. We see this anger as an impediment to rational thought. This view has an impressive pedigree. For instance, Galen, the second and third century Greek physician and philosopher, associated anger with barbarians, the young and the uneducated. Anger, he conceded, is natural to us, but the truly mature are able to tame it with reason. Keith, tell us why you brought that article in and had me read that particular passage from it.
Well, if you look at the pictures, if you read on in the article, it's obvious that this is directed not at Bernie Sanders supporters so much as Donald Trump supporters. And what it shows is an incredible betrayal by the left of their own mendacity. What they're showing, what this demonstrates, is a perfect example of the cultural Marxist technique known as the therapeutic state. In other words, your opponents, i.e. Trump supporters, don't have a rational argument to support their position. They are motivated by basically mental illness. They need to be sent to a gulag where they can have their attitudes adjusted like they did in the Soviet Union. In other words, they discount and don't have to engage themselves in a rational dialogue with their opponents. They just call them racists, or they call them homophobes, or they call them anti-Semites, or they call them misogynists. They have this whole dictionary lexicon of put-down terms that are supposed to immediately put the arguments of conservatives beyond the pale. People that oppose the liberal juggernaut in the West generally, and in America in particular, are basically mentally ill people, and they're to be treated, like Emily Dickinson said, with a chain, okay, handled with a chain. We're not to be debated. The last thing that the Southern Poverty Law Center or any of our liberal critics want to do is debate us, because they know that if they debated us, we'd win the debate in the form of public opinion. And this is just an article that's intended to impose, through the therapeutic state, a sense of defeatism in conservatives or supporters of the old order, which again, cultural Marxist thinkers came up with a name for. It's called cultural pessimism. We're supposed to think that there's no legitimate argument that would support our position. Our position must come from some type of evil that resides within us. So consequently, rather than owning our positions and trying to argue them, they try to make us feel like we're outlaws. We're treated like outlaws by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example. That's what their hate watch is. It's not the conservative watch, it's hate watch. In other words, you're being animated by some base emotion like hatred or anger if you dare to oppose the liberal agenda in America. This is so classic, James. I just had to bring it in so we could discuss it.
I'm glad you did. And we also got an email from one of our listeners, Rob, And he writes that the media has conceded that the Saylor strategy, which is that the Republicans should reach out to its white base to win elections, is the pathway to victory, although they say, of course, that's an evil way to do it. Despite the dozens of trend pieces over the past few years about shifting voter demographics, the harsh reality remains that the United States is still an exceedingly white country. And those white people, especially white men, still wield the overwhelming amount of power. White men comprise 31% of the population, but make up 60% of the gun owners. White men make up 31% of the population, but 65% of elected officials. There are 155 million voting age non-Hispanic whites in America. There were a total of 129 million votes cast in 2012, including 65 million for Obama. Put simply, there's not only a lot of white voters in this country, there's a lot of untapped white voters, and they make up more than enough of the population to secure their own majority voting bloc for decades to come. By selling out the 6-8% of Hispanic voters entirely, Trump has picked up a comparable and likely much more number of fringe whites, so says this article.
But the problem for us is that a group that hides within that white demographic, 1.7% of the population, the Jewish part of the population, has 100% of the ownership or the CEOs of the eight major movie studios. They have, even though they, if they had proportional representation, they'd be 2% of the student body at Harvard and Yale rather than 1/3. All of that
true.
Power is undermining the legitimate power that we should have in the white community politically.
We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, what were we talking about before the break was that whites are still such a majority in this country. I don't know why they aren't more sought after as a reliable voting bloc. Everybody seems to be fighting to get the black vote, which is about 12% of the population, fighting to get the Hispanic vote, fighting to get the homosexual vote, or to be in good favor with the homosexuals, who are less than 5% of the population. No one's going after the 66% of the population. And even Dick Morris conceded that that was why Mitt Romney lost. Most whites stayed home. Go after the whites, you win. And it's so simple. You stop the influx of third worlders. You secure the border. You get rid of the people who are here illegally. And you don't even have to worry about the Hispanics voting because they wouldn't be here to do it.
And further, the reason why the left is in favor of open borders is specifically because they want to change the composition of the electorate. It's what Bertolt Brecht, the German Jewish playwright, said in 1948. If you don't like the election results, change the electorate. That's what the left is trying to do through the open borders movement.
All right, let's go to Tom, who is south of the Mason-Dixon line and on the line with us. Tom. Are you there, Tom? Are we here?
Hello.
Okay, go, Tom. Yes,
I wanted to speak to Keith. I had a question for Keith. I'm always interested in hearing from him. Keith, you probably, I don't know if you caught it or James caught it, Donald Trump explained his legal logic and how he views the Supreme Court earlier this week on the Morning Joe program on MSNBC. And Trump went down through the same old rut we've been in of the Supreme Court's the supreme law of the land, and you know, whatever they rule, that's what we have to do. And he was, you know, talking about that poor woman down in Kentucky who's in jail. And, you know, but he's going through this whole same old thing that we've gone through for 50 or 60 years now of a Supreme Court dictatorship. And here's the thing that, that I think Trump's missing, too, is that, take, for example, out in California, they had that proposition out there. The people of California voted that illegal aliens weren't going to get benefits. So it went to the federal court, and it didn't even get to the Supreme Court. It got thrown out. The will of the people of California was thrown out. Now, what's he thinks going to happen if he tries to do something? It'll end up in the Supreme Court. It'll end up getting thrown out, just like everything else has gone for years. I don't think there's one thing that's gone down that they haven't thrown out in the last 50 or 60 years. Maybe I'm wrong about this, Keith. You're a lawyer, and you're probably also related to a very good old friend of mine. So I'd like to hear what you think.
Well, you have to understand that Donald Trump isn't as far along in his thought processes as you are, Tom, or as I am. If he were, he would realize that in the history of the United States, it's a fairly recent phenomenon for the executive branch and the legislative branch to accede to the attempted assertion by the federal judiciary that they are the final word on what is constitutional and what is not. Thomas Jefferson ignored the Supreme Court, excuse me, when it made that assertion in the landmark case in 1803 of Marbury versus Madison. The Supreme Court ruled that he had acted unconstitutionally, and he basically ignored them. Andrew Jackson ignored the Supreme Court when it said that the legislature and the president, Andrew Jackson, had acted unconstitutionally when they passed the Indian Removal Act. Andrew Jackson's reply or response when he was asked about this by newspapers back in the day when this decision came down was, Mr. Marshall, that's John Marshall, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time, has made his decision, now let him enforce it. Abraham Lincoln was said to have abrogated the right for a writ of habeas corpus for the legislators of the Maryland legislature who were arrested as they entered the legislative chamber. Before they could be sworn in, he had them arrested, put in the holds of prison ships in the Potomac River for the most of the balance of the war, and they filed for a writ of habeas corpus. In other words, don't hold us here indefinitely. Tell us what laws we supposedly have offended, and then bring us to trial. That's what a writ of habeas corpus is. Right. Chief Justice Roger Taney at the time authored an opinion in the case of State X. Rel. Milligan, in which he said that the Lincoln administration had violated the Sixth Amendment rights of the legislators in Maryland. And what Lincoln did was send out a detachment of troops to have the Chief Justice arrested. Cooler heads prevailed, but this is the first executive to actually click his heels and salute to the Supreme Court was Dwight Eisenhower in 1954 with the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Now, I didn't always know that. It took me, years to come to the realization and reading and the study of history to come to that, because that's certainly not something you're going to hear in your normal classroom discussion of the power of judicial review if you take a constitutional law course,
right,
or if you go to law school.
FDR's threat to pack the Supreme Court.
All of those things. See, it takes somebody that has a contrarian viewpoint and is energetic enough to get into the books. Donald Trump obviously hasn't been that guy. He's been too busy making money. But what I say to people who are always complaining that are trying to complain that Donald Trump isn't conservative enough, like Jeb Bush. Can you imagine anything more ridiculous? Like, Jeb Bush is authentically conservative. He's more conservative than who? Maybe Joseph Stalin, but I can't think of hardly anyone else that he's more conservative than. I don't worry about Trump because, as far as I'm concerned, conservatism is nothing but common sense. And what we all have to do and what Trump will have to do is gradually shed himself of the claptrap and the illusions that have been psychologically inbred into him by a left-wing education establishment, a left-wing news media, a left-wing academia, that basically, you have to be liberated from their liberalism, which is basically in the air we breathe and the water we drink, Tom.
Well,
and I think he'll do it.
Hopefully you can, your efforts and James's efforts and guys like Brad Griffith, Hunter Wallace, through your efforts you can, because I think you guys have a lot more reach than you realize.
I appreciate you saying that, and I think you're absolutely right, and that's why it's so important for us to stay on the air, because we have the knowledge, we have the intellects, and we have the research to back up what we're saying. And there's, because of that, there's nothing that the left would like to do more than stuff a sock down our mouths and stop us from broadcasting and talking. But we believe, give light, and the people shall find their way. And I'm one of those people, hopefully, will be Donald Trump if he's elected president.
Thank you so much for the call, Tom. I'd stepped out for a moment while Keith was speaking with you on air. Eddie the Bombardier Miller had just arrived at the radio station, so I was in the green room with him.
With a full load of bombs.
That's right. I had to help him unload the bomber in the hangar there. But you mentioned, though, Tom, Brad Griffin, and he had written a very good article that we'll actually repost on our website next week about Trump's Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. And as good as Trump is on a lot of these things, one of the problems he'll face if he wins the nomination, if he can run that gauntlet of attack ads that are going to be coming at him, if he can outwit the Republican Party and establishments that are going to do everything they can to see that he doesn't win. If he can do all that and somehow get elected president, he will still have to put up with the federal judges who are completely out of control. Eddie and I are going to cover that in the third hour, exclusively in the third hour. We're going to be talking about...
What he really needs is to have all the political cesspool staff as his advisors.
Well, that would probably pretty much save it. But the problem is, though, even if he does move forward with this plan after winning the hypothetical election, and he does seek to build a wall, he's going to be combated by Congress. He's going to be combated by federal judges who believe that they are the only, you know, why do we even have a, I would like to ask this in light of what happened in Kentucky. And I don't want you to address this, Keith, because Eddie and I are going to cover this in the third hour. It's the only topic we're going to cover in the third hour, the Christian woman who's in jail now for violating no law. I wonder why we even have a president. Why do we have congressmen? Why do we have state governments? Why do we have anything? All we need, obviously, is the Supreme Court. So think about that, folks. That's what we're going to be talking about in the third hour. When we come back, though, Keith and I are going to cover one more topic before we invite the Bombardier to ride co-pilot. Who will take in the millions of climate refugees? What is a climate refugee? We'll tell you right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had three bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, when Eddie walks into the studio, the entire atmosphere around here changes. Not as that it's not as if it's not jovial a moment ago, but it's even more so now. Hang on. We can't. Eddie's trying to talk. And he's over there with. I can't hear you. What I'd have to stop and listen to you, and it would be dead air. So, hey, Keith, don't touch that red box. In fact, why don't you take a step? Yeah. Step
I was dancing the pony to Frankie Valli in Four Seasons is what set this off.
There I'm is sorry. That. Yeah, we don't touch the red box. That knocks us off the air.
The red box is like the Pandora's box. We all can't right. touch it.
All right, everybody get back on their mics. Eddie, don't touch the red box. Don't look at Eddie. He's
change,
distracting
change
us.
Change the sound up for me, James, because I'm okay. apparently too low.
All right. All right, just stay on the mic, and here we go. All right, what I was going to say was, very quickly, this is off topic, and we're going to get into climate refugees. This is another article that Keith brought in tonight. But stay tuned for the third hour, folks. I'm very excited to work the third hour with Eddie. And talk about the situation in Kentucky. Eddie's been boning up and preparing for that. And
he's our resident expert on all things Christian, and he's going to address this from a Christian perspective, okay? He's our version of the Pope.
All right. But you know, we were talking earlier, you know, about how on the so-called hate watch list, you have the American Family Union, the Family Research Council, the political, you know, all these Christian groups. You know, for the record, and Brad Griffin had written this earlier in our last caller talked about Brad, we must consider it a badge of honor to be labeled quote-unquote extremist by a group that embraces Planned Parenthood. So, you know, the SPLC embraces Planned Parenthood and labels its opponents as extremists. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're down with butchering millions of babies and selling their body parts for cash, I don't know how much of a moral authority you have to really criticize anyone. And the Democrats are in lockstep with that, too. And they're both in the tank with the Black Lives Matter terrorist group. But, okay, I digress. Keith has this article brought in. It's entitled, Who Will Take in the Millions of Climate Refugees? You might not have heard that term before.
It's the latest invention of the left.
They just need a place to live. And here's the article. Toward the end of this century, if current trends are not reversed, large parts of Bangladesh, the Philippines, Indonesia, Pakistan, Egypt, and Vietnam, Eddie's favorite place, his home away from home back in the 60s, among other countries, will be underwater. Some small island nations will be close to disappearing entirely. Swaths of Africa from Sierra Leone to Ethiopia will be turning into desert. Glaciers in the Himalayas and in the Andes, on which entire regions depend for drinking water, will be melting away. Many habitable parts of the world will no longer be able to support agriculture or produce clean water. The people who live there will be hungry, thirsty, hot, and desperate. They will cross borders. They will cross borders regardless of whether they are welcome. And in their desperation, they could become violent because none of them are violent when they come now.
Right, exactly. And this is exactly what we're talking about. This is the left basically threatening conservatives, saying that because you're not falling in line with our instructions about global warming, because you don't believe it, because you're not willing to allow yourself to be taxed, so that your money can go to the third world in order to supposedly abate global warming, when actually the carbon emissions coming from human activity are, the vast majority of them are coming from third and second world nations like India and China, but we're supposed to be responsible for them, and as a result, if we're not going to step up to the plate and be responsible for them, we need to take in all these third worlders who the left is assuring us will be driven from their homes because of our mendacity and our evil by not embracing their specious, ridiculous concept of global warming.
Well, and it's just like we said earlier before the show when we were sitting around, Keith, waiting for the program to start, reviewing this article. It's not, you know, when you think of people who are really environmental friendly, you obviously think about the Indians, right? Because what, the smog in Delhi is so bad you can't even see 2 feet in front of you?
And in China, for example, in China, here's what's happened in China. The Yangtze River is so bad that no life is sustained in. They have no fish. They have nothing in the Yangtze River. We don't have any rivers that are anywhere near as toxic as them, but they're not supposed to contribute any money under the Kyoto Protocols. Only the United States is supposed to, and Europe, In other words, white nations are supposed to contribute money under the Kyoto protocols because of our contribution to global warming, supposedly, which is man-made carbon emissions, when by far the most toxic areas in the world are non-white areas like China and like India.
All right, Eddie's got to say something about carbon dioxide. He's just,
hey, people, it's Eddie right here. Listen, we need more carbon dioxide. Guess what plants breathe, people? They breathe carbon dioxide. And guess what plants put off? They put off oxygen. The more carbon dioxide we have, guess what? The more farm products we will have because they need it. Carbon dioxide to the green plants is oxygen to us. It's a symbiotic relationship. And guess who invented that system? It wasn't the liberals. It was God Almighty.
Hey, that's great, Eddie. Thank you, buddy.
God is the ultimate lawgiver in everything, and you need to consult God as Eddie does, as James does, as I do, as the measure of all things. And when man tries to play God, which is the basic understanding of what all liberals always do, then you are walking on thin ice and you will have problems in your life. You can't worship man or man-made creatures. A man-made creature is an idol. They've made an idol of their own science, of their own secular humanism, and they want us to bow down and worship this golden calf that they've created called global warming.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about that? Because I have a quick announcement that I want to put forth before we toss it, before we go into and transition.
Well, I think it's kind of curious that they now have yet another excuse for third world immigration to the first world, primarily Europe and the United States of America and Canada.
Climate refugees, and the only reason they're having to flee their lands is because we did it to them.
They'd
be
perfectly happy over there in Africa or in Asia, but for the fact that we are ruining the planet with carbon emissions and white people alone are doing this.
Eddie believes that Israel may take them in. Do you think that?
I don't think Israel will take any. Isn't that curious? Yeah. The silence is deafening from Israel about taking in third world refugees.
Israel has a great domestic policy.
But then the Jews throughout the world are always in the forefront of demanding open borders in other nations.
That's right. But you look at their immigration policy, and it's one that we would salivate over. All right. I want to make one. Keith, you and Eddie talk about that, and then I got to read. I got to read this one thing. I got
to
get this.
I was going to tell Keith. I was going to ask Keith and James a question. What would happen to these immigrants that tried to sneak into Israel?
Well, we already know. We've covered this on the show. That's a great question. We know what happens. They round them up. They deport them. They sterilize them if they allow them to stay. But they are absolutely rounded up and deported. And I mean, in uncertain terms.
What happens to illegal immigrants that come into Mexico?
Well, I don't know
Central America. They are, the first offense is 6 months in jail. The second offense is 10 years in jail.
Think if you would want, what kind of person would want to immigrate to Mexico?
Well, the only reason they immigrate to Mexico is that they're on the way to the United States, James.
Well, there's that to consider. All right, quick announcement, and then we're going to go into the third hour. It's going to be all about this lady in Kentucky, but I have to read this first. As we know, the regime is currently attempting to purge any symbol of our heroes and heritage from the public square. Confederate icons, that being monuments and flags, are unquestionably their target of choice. And so we feel as though here, Eddie, myself, Keith, Winston, the crew, as though the illustrious Confederate flag should be put on display more, not less. Wouldn't you agree? In fact, as we wrote on our website yesterday, we have taken it upon ourselves to see that we play a role in ensuring that that happens. So, you can kill two birds with one stone here, folks. You want to help keep our show on the air and assist us in the distribution of Confederate flags. Here's how you can accomplish both. You donate $100 or more to this program. We're in our third quarter fundraising drive right now. It started off well, but we got a long way to go, and we need your help. $100 or more, before September 30th, you're going to receive a Confederate flag, a very special Confederate flag, because it belonged to the late Bill Rowland.
Out of his private stock.
That's right. He had two boxes of Confederate flags that were in his possession at the time of his passing. We have acquired them, and we want to ensure that the legacy of this indomitable champion endures each time this symbol of heroic resistance ripples defiantly in the wind or as distinguishably framed in your home. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We thank you in advance of your support. Now, everything helps, $10, $25, whatever, but $100 or more, you're going to get one of these flags. And if you already have one, give it to a friend or give a friend your flag and take the one that belonged to Bill Rowland.
Let me just mention this. To confirm what James was just telling you about this war against Confederate symbols, I went last Friday night, not yesterday, but 7-8 days ago, to Gone with the Wind, which was shown in the summer film series at the Orpheum, which is the Grand Old Theater of Memphis.
30 seconds to tell them what it went like.
And what it happened was it was packed to the rafters, despite the fact that the day before the commercial appeal ran an article questioning how we could lionize this movie or watch it in the light of what we our evolving awareness of you know, what it stands for. Well, the whole thing was packed, much more packed than at any other movie during the summer film series. Now, James asked me, what were the other movies in the film series? Young Frankenstein, which portrays Frankenstein as a member of some minority group that's being oppressed. Summer Place, which celebrates adultery. And other movies like that from the Breakfast at Tiffany's, which represented lionizing the life of a call girl.
Got to take a break, Keith.
So that's why Gone with the Wind is good and why the people of America still support it.